I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up? What's going on, everybody? And welcome to the Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. And I am your host, Brandon Hanna. And it has been a somber season finale that I cannot wait to talk about with the same amazing panel as always. Starting off first, you know her as a musical theater enthusiast and lover of all things dance and song. It's Emily May.
Hey, everyone. I hope everyone's doing okay. This was a rough one, but we're going to talk about it. We're in it together.
We are definitely in it together. And another person who's in here with us, you know her as the incredible voice actress extraordinaire. It's Kitty Aww. Kaboom.
Dang, Brandon. I need to take you with me everywhere I go.
I am all game. Maybe after quarantine, though.
Maybe after quarantine.
Yeah, not right now.
Let's be safe. Right.
At least from 6 feet away. But last but not least, of course he's here. He's always here. It's a pleasure to have him here. You know him for his amazing TikTok videos. It's Amir Yesai.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, y'all. I'm broken up. I'm wearing black for the occasion, so I'm quite broken up.
It's a lot. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are all broken up indeed. This episode was certainly a handful. We've got so much to get into. First of all, starting off things a little lighter. Joan gets a promotion. What could be the implications of that? And let's talk about Max and Zoe. Woo! Team Max. Okay. And we say goodbye to Mitch. Yes, the time has come. And it's going to be a heavy, big topic that I cannot wait to get into. But before we go, and of course, can't forget our special segment, our own internal musical monologues. See, I'm already flustered by this episode, guys.
I know. It's okay. It's a hard one
to get through. Oh, but we're going to get through it together. Yes, our own internal musical monologues, saying goodbye, of course, to someone we love. But before we get into all that, I do want to talk about our overall thoughts on tonight's season finale. Emily May, let's start with you. What did you think?
I am so overwhelmed with emotions. I've been crying for the last 2 hours on my couch. I'm so overwhelmed. I think it was the most perfect, beautiful wrap up of a season of a show. Just the characters all had their moment to kind of really show their emotions and had this like the last 15 minutes of the episode was like the most perfect cinematography I've seen on television in a really long time, especially for this type of dramedy. The music selection was perfect, and it was just so emotional. And I'm still choked up, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, it was certainly emotional indeed. Amir, how did this hit you?
So me and Kitty watched together, and to echo what Em said about the cinematography, the scene with the umbrellas was amazing with the rain.
Amazing.
I thought that was, wow. Like that really, and I think the director of the episode is John Turteltaub. So he's a really well-known director. He's directed some really great movies, Romance and Cigarettes, and he also did the Transformer movie. So he's a really great director. So you could tell it was like a film director shooting TV.
Yes.
You could really see that. That all aside, I was just ugly crying. Em texted us and let us know that we were in for a wild ride. So thank you, Em, because if I went in there unannounced, I would have really been a wreck.
I know. Well, because I was like, I had to warn you guys. I was like, no, literally, my husband had to sit next to me and like held me. Like, aww. I was a mess.
This is not good for quarantine. We're already kind of emotional as is. And then you're adding this, but it was done, honestly, like all jokes aside, it was done so eloquently and so like thoughtfully and any, just the way that Max came, I mean, left and then, Simon showed up, just the beauty, all of that is choreographed. You can tell Mandy Moore had her
everywhere,
all over the episode. So genius. I loved it.
Yeah, I think I agree completely. Kitty Kaboom, tell us, be real. Were you ugly crying this episode?
No question about it. I was definitely Kim Kardashian ugly crying. That's a whole level of ugly crying. Yeah, I definitely was. And I mean, we all saw this coming. We were kind of, it's funny, me and Amir were like, well, maybe, you know, we were hoping on like in the 11th hour he pulls through because we all anticipated this happening. So we knew it was going to come to this. And you're absolutely right. Mandy Moore had her hand in this without actually choreographing a dance. And I love that Amir was so cognizant of exactly, I mean, we always trade barbs throughout the show. So, I mean, great shot is just a great shot. And when you see mm-hmm. a film director coming to TV, it's like people that are in the biz kind of are aware of that. And you're right, that angle right there, I mean, that shot at, from the aerial view. But even mm-hmm. before that, like when they were going through the different rooms, I love when they do that, when they pan through the rooms, mm-hmm. but like literally it's just a wall there. So all you're seeing is like, anyway, there were great shots in it. It was amazing balls. It goes without saying that it was super sad. I like that they kept it a little bit light with the whole interchange between she and Max, and then talking about him actually not even wanting to come back and, you know, what that all implies. I love that the love triangle is still going on. I mean, I love it in like a love-hate way. I'm kind of over it at this point, but I love that Zoe's such a hot ass that she has these two men still fighting over her a season later. It's kind of dope.
She's still in there. And yeah, I was going to say, Kitty, yeah, so basically people in the live chat are going a little crazy, so I want to give them a quick do. So Rye is saying the season finale was a really good episode. Sassy mm-hmm. Jones is saying they need to get a season two. They can't just end it like this. We agree.
Oh, no question. No question.
Yes. We see you guys. We agree. Yeah. And then Zoe and Max, holy crap, from Ivan Soto, who's been here from episode one in the live chat. Super active. So thank you, Ivan.
Shout out Ivan again and tell him Kitty said what's up. He's in all my, every show I do, there's like an Ivan. I'm like, big ups to Ivan. Clearly he loves us and we love you right back, babe.
We see you, Ivan. And then just one last one. Rachel Silvestrini is saying PG-13 Max Magic Mike performance from him, I'd count them as a win. So I love when Max kind of got into his dance mode. It was super cute, and that I agree. So I echo
Amir,
that.
Amir, what show did you, I mean, what song did you say you wanted him to sing?
I want to sing the Pony song from Magic Mike, the Pony by Jenny.
No, you said Rihanna.
I did say Rihanna when we were watching. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great. I was like, that would be awesome.
Brandon, take it away.
Yeah, I cannot wait to get into Max. But yeah, for me, this episode, it really felt like a masterclass of cinematography and choreography mm-hmm. and acting all across the board. What an amazing episode of television. This show has a way of making me feel every feeling I've ever felt in my entire life all at once. And it drives me crazy sometimes. But
in
45 minutes, it's incredible. So I mean, let's start off with something a little more lighthearted, maybe something that could have implications in season two, and that's Joan getting a promotion. I guess CEO running the company. Amir, what do you think about this? You think this is good for Joan? Do you think that whatever shady business is going on with the current to former CEO could get Joan in trouble going forward? I don't really know. What do you think?
I mean, unfortunately, when people say they're you know, the SEC, the CIA, it just kept getting worse. The FBI, I was like, okay, this guy's in a lot of things with that, you know, very Napoleon Dynamite style. I don't know what he's into. But I'm a little worried for Joan because unfortunately, especially because the tech industry is so male dominated, I think he's trying to put a woman to seem progressive, but then throw her under the bus the minute things hit, you know, go south. So I hope that she is smart and doesn't kind of get caught up in all of that. We'll have to wait and see. But I like that storyline because I do want to see more of Joan, maybe at home. Like, we get to see her a little more. I would like that.
Yeah, I like kind of planting the ideas of a story thread that we can see fleshed out furthermore in season two. Emily, do you have any differentiating thoughts from Amir?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good opportunity for Joan. I'm so excited to see that type of role given to Joan. I think it's going to be a good opportunity for Zoe because if she's still, you know, she's still close with Joan, and like it could be, she could be like the next rising star of the company. But also, I do have kind of doubts that it might lead to some problems down the line. And I heard the creator, I read some articles that the creator brought up that in season two, in development, I guess, that Joan would have a really big storyline and like a really big kind of arc here with this new position.
Yeah, definitely. That brings up a good point that I didn't really think about is Zoe can kind of step into Joan's current role. Mm-hmm. And I guess if Max wanted to come back to Spark Point, he could potentially grab Zoe's current job and be a manager again. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Kitty Kaboom, what about you? What did you think?
Let's put it out there. I'd like to think of myself as an optimist. I don't know how you feel about that, people. But in this instance, all I kept thinking was, what could possibly go wrong? OMG, everything could go so wrong with this. As you said, this guy has the loyalty of a gnat. So you know he's not going to be like Team Joan. It's more like, just as you said, Amira, like an opportunity to kind of throw her under the bus. I need someone to run this ship while I literally am rotting in jail. So with that being said, what a better place than to put a woman that I know is going to get eaten alive but can still kind of hold her own but has to fight off the sharks. Like, I just see a whole lot of messy nonsense, which makes for a great season. So we'll see. But I have to admit, I am not happy about her taking up the reins, only because he's putting her on a sinking ship, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's happening, but that's the impression I get. So
no, I agree. And there's a, Kitty, there's a huge like hot take for you from the live chat. So I've been saying, Ivan Soto says, the showrunner wanted to give Joan this promotion because Lauren Graham has been cast in the Mighty Ducks reboot. So we might be seeing less of her. So maybe this is a way to transition Joan out of the show. So see, they have better tea than we do. So
right, Ivan, what the hell? That man is on it, baby. I love it.
Yeah,
you.
Knows the scoop.
Yeah, you got some scoop there.
We'll definitely have to see how that plays out for Joan. I know, Kitty, actually, you brought up some good points about maybe her being on a sinking ship. Hopefully this doesn't mean the end for Spark Point with the CIA possibly getting involved.
I feel like if there's that many companies after the owner, then the company has to be in trouble too. Like, it's
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not a pessimist by nature, but it don't look right. He's never been like had an affinity for her. I just hate people that come in that have treated you like SH whatever. And then like at the 11th hour when they're in trouble, just like, oh, by the way, you know, I've always loved you. You want to come on board? And like, excuse you. No, I don't. Yeah, this doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't jive. But she's in a predicament, and it makes sense that she would accept the role. I mean, she would be a fool not to. She's in, as we said, this industry that is male dominated. So even if she's only able to make like a small hiccup, at least they will remember her for that. So I applaud her. I hope it works out. And I love the way you guys played it out. Like, oh, this will move around. And yeah, it can be chess. It could totally be chess, which would be good for all of us.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see how that plays out. And I know with the current CEO being in the predicament he is, he was kind of just like, yeah, you know, Max could have his job back, whatever. And I like the kind of back and forth they had. He's just like kind of, I forget exactly what he was saying. Maybe one of you.
He said, do you love your, does he love his mom? Yeah.
Just kind of saying stuff that really didn't matter to the job at all. Like, he almost didn't care.
At all.
So
I think Brandon, my favorite line of the whole show was, I'll take an omelet, but hold the eggs.
Yes!
I thought that was, what the hell?
That's so pretentious. That's so Hollywood, though, isn't it? I go to the Ivy to get all the best stuff, but just bring me the water with the lime, please, darling. Whatever.
So we'll see what happens with Max's job. And I do really want to get into Zoe and Max. But before we do that, I just want to thank everybody watching at home for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We would not be able to host this incredible show without your love and support. So please, if you're in the live chat right now, tell Amir what you're thinking, because I know you have just as many thoughts as us, probably twice as many, three times as many thoughts as us. So just get them out. Just get them out there into the world. We'll be watching. We'll be listening. And maybe Amir will read it for us here on the show. If you're watching after the fact, please leave your comments down below. We definitely love to check those out. Like this video, subscribe to this channel and all the AfterBuzz TV channels on YouTube. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a positive rating and review there. It really, really, really helps us out a great deal, more than most. So please, if you can take some time to do that, we would greatly appreciate it. And someone who is maybe starting to appreciate Max a little bit more finally is Zoe. Oh, there is a real love triangle brewing. I'm gonna go right to you, Emily. What do you think is Max and Zoe finally going to happen?
Oh, I mean, it's definitely happening. It's happening. We saw it.
It's real. I
don't know. Simon's lurking in the wings.
This episode showed me that I feel like Max is the true love. Like, Max is like ride or die. Like, I am here no matter what. And I feel like Simon is now in that point where it's like more friendship and companionship during a loss. Like this, I really felt that there was a understanding between Max and Simon that, hey, like, we're here to like make sure Zoe's okay and her family. I did not feel that there was any, you know, drama, but
okay.
But I love Max and Zoe. It was the most awkward moment ever. But it was like the perfect songs, and it was so much fun to see. It was like lighthearted. It was that lighthearted like heart songs that we needed to hear.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I really thought it was awkward in like the best way possible, especially in the beginning of the episode where we had Max and Simon and Zoe all together getting the cheese quakes. And Simon is just getting really jealous of Max. And I just thought that was, I was like laughing. It was like, for me, that was a lot of fun to watch. I thought that was one of the most well-crafted just numbers of the season, especially because I was also thinking behind the scenes a little bit where you have like Skylar Astin just like sitting there faking a conversation while we have John Clarence Stewart in the background just like crushing this dance and song number. So that was really great.
It'd be so weird if I was having lunch and that happened.
it would be absolutely incredible. Kitty Kaboom, what do you think? Is the love triangle still in full force, or is Max taking this thing?
I mean, here's the thing. I get that it's continuously a storyline. I do get it because it is the draw. Like, I do kind of want to see where this goes or whatever, but I'm kind of over it at this point. I wish she would just choose one and keep it moving. But that being said, as a woman, Emily, I'm sure you can attest to this, obviously before your marriage, it would be wonderful to have two grown, like, you want me with, wait, I'm sorry, he's pulling me? I'll be right back. Like, that feels amazing. Like, especially since you spent the whole season trying to figure out which to go. And at this point, your focus is really your dad. It's your family. It's doing the right thing to make sure that you're a part of his transition. So they are literally holding down the fort. And can I just say, any triangle that I've ever been in, ain't nobody been this what's the word, what do you call it when you're adult?
Thirsty?
Mature.
Charming.
But mature in the way that they handle each other, you know what I mean? Nobody's disrespectful to anybody else. Nobody's just like, I don't even know why he's trying to, he's a blah blah blah, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's dissing. And obviously in TV world, why would they, right? But still, it paints a picture that I would like to one day aspire to know that if in fact two guys are fighting over me, God help them. But if they are, like, that we have a conversation that allows everybody to kind of speak their peace and feel the way that they feel, and without there being like, oh, meet me outside, bruh. Like, it's going down. Like, I don't, you know, it's nice. It is TV.
You don't have time for that. Right, Kitty, I just, not to
interrupt.
Right. Kitty, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but chat is getting really aggressive.
Okay.
So I want to give people their due. So Ellen Hainwright is saying, I did not know that Alice Lee was in Heather's on Broadway. So these people are, everyone on the show is so, they know what they're talking about.
They're smart.
They on it. And she's also saying, I got super emotional during this episode. I was 20 when I lost my mom to cancer, and we watched her slowly slip away.
My love.
Yeah. So that was really, I'm happy that everyone's feeling this. I love it. Then one last person, Rachel Silvestrini. Anyone else losing their minds that Mandy is going to be on the show tonight? Oh, am I?
What?
Why did it load? That's bizarre. I am so sorry. It's loading the wrong chat. That is bizarre. That was the wrong one. So ignore that live chat. I am so sorry. And JVA.
It happens.
It's all good. It's all good. We're all human.
The questions are still relevant.
Only one of them was from the wrong chat. JVA, I was just sad he didn't meet his grandson, which I really resonated with me as well.
That
was very, very sweet. And to go back to what Brandon was asking about, I think with the whole Team Max, Team Simon thing, that I had been kind of Team Simon the whole arc, all 12 episodes. On this episode, I was just like, you know what? At this 12th episode, I am fully Team Max.
Yeah,
I have come to your side because you know what? Number one reason, and I know a lot of people know how much of a Team Simon stan I am, it's because Max called Simon when he didn't have to. And that scene really made me emotional because that was such a stand-up dude thing to do.
So mature and so, like, it's like a noble thing. It's like a brave thing to do. Amen. To, like, vulnerable to say, hey, I know this person likes Zoe in a way that, like, hey, I do too. but mm-hmm. I'm going to do this because it's what Zoe would want, because he put someone else above himself. And that Amen. Is like the hardest thing to do in a time when you're most vulnerable.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. And finally, everyone in the chat is now on my side. They hated me, and now everyone's like, welcome.
Now they love you. Brandon, are we?
Well, for me, I've always been Team Max all the way. I still am.
You have. But
believe it or not, I think Kitty made some great points about them both being so mature about the situation. Yes. And like Simon being super, super respectful, and Max yes. making that respectful. Phone call, and Simon bringing the lasagna over, and like them both just being like, hey, forget about us, focus on you, focus on your dad, focus mm-hmm. on your family. I've warmed up to Simon a lot, and it's not just because we had John on the show. I really mean this, and I'm still Team Max. I really am. And we'll just have to wait and see, I guess, what happens going yeah. forward. But let's move on to the big, big topic of tonight's episode.
Brandon, before we move on, let's yes. quickly, I just have two comments from last week's episode.
Sure.
I just want to say those real quick. Carmela's saying, we love Mandy Moore, many Moores, which I thought was cute. And then that was very sweet. And then Carol Bliss is saying, first, I want to say that I love the interaction and interpretation you guys give. I'm sad there's only one episode left, which is really sad. But we are trying to drag this after show, maybe one more episode. We might yes. be able to put together a reunion show. You heard it here first. So we're working on that. So bear yeah, with
working us. On it.
Working on it.
So clearly some Brandon, people know, and the other right, me and Brandon are like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
we're working amazing.
I was just playing it coy, that's all.
I know. Brandon was keeping it under wraps.
Great. I was like, Brandon, you know about that.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Leave the black girl out.
Yeah.
Right. Let's
get into the heavy, heavy topic of the episode. We say goodbye to Mitch. There's been a funeral and everything, and an amazing sequence at the end. Oh my God. Like, at least that's gonna be the one really uplifting thing to talk about, because I just thought that was yeah. so incredibly well done. Emily, I know you had tears in your eyes during this episode. Tell us how you felt.
Oh my God. Well, I sent you guys my ugly cry photo. Ugly cry yeah. photo. So I watched a behind the scenes thing. They said this last shot of the funeral was 7 minutes continuously.
Wow.
And that's just incredible. So like, and the music choice I loved, because it was so symbolic of the whole season, that we had all of these songs that were about life and connecting people. And here we're, the song was like a contradiction. We're at a funeral, but we have the song about music, you know, it's a celebration of life, but also the music, there's a silence there because the joy of Zoe's life and her family's is slowly, slowly went out. And there's a loss there. And so it just was such a juxtaposition with just the music and the moment. But I feel like they did it in such a delicate way and such a well thought out way that it was super meaningful and really powerful. And in my mind, I just, not to get super like sad or anything, but I just thought about all the people right now that can't have funerals and like can't be with their families right now. And it broke my heart, because you see all these friends and family together embracing and being together, and like we can't be together right now. So it gave me all the feels.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure, definitely. Those are some really strong points. I know for me personally, what I really loved about that sequence was it was one song that was collectively sung by the entire cast, and every yeah. single cast member had a point in the song where their characters were singing about something specifically that was true to them.
Yeah.
All at once, it's still being one song. And I thought that was really brilliant and really well done. Amir, what did you think? Ugly cries, just share us your feelings. Just tell us what you got.
Definitely ugly cries. Ellen Heinrich is saying, oh my God, Lullaby Broke Me, Mitch and Zoe's dance. Mitch and Zoe dancing to instrumental True Colors. I mean, it was so good. And when me and Kitty were watching, we were like, who is that in the corner? And it was Mitch, yeah, like fully dressed up, and it's almost like they were doing like a father-daughter dance,
yeah,
at like
that's what it felt wedding. Like.
So I really connected with that, and I was like, oh my God. And like, you know, you start to think about your parents or a certain age, and you're like, oh my God. And you start to think about people you've lost, and like what Em said, I was thinking about all the people, like I have friends who have, you know, not even from COVID, but they've lost people to other things, and they can't have funerals. Yeah. And like part of a funeral is closure, and not having, yeah, that, like the whole dance number at the funeral, that's so much closure for everyone. Yeah. So I really resonated with that. And I just wish that, just for my own heart, I wish Bernadette would just come back and give her a hug or something. I just need to see Bernadette Peters one last time, but that's my own selfish
season two
desires. I know, exactly. But it was just honestly, and once Em said it was a unbroken shot, like a continuous shot, that, yeah, even, I mean, wow, John Turteltaub, like such a great director, that just gives it another layer aside from emotions. Like it's, yeah, so beautifully done.
Yeah, and Brandon, I liked your point about the song, is that everyone had, this was really the only song of the episode or of the season, really, that we felt like the whole cast was like united and, mm-hmm, had their like voice. And even Zoe had her moment where she could finally sing. And it, I felt like it gave us closure as audience members.
Yeah, definitely. And like even like that last lingering shot of the empty seat where Mitch has been sitting on the couch all season long.
Oh,
it just kind of lingers on it a bit. And then of course that final lyric about this, the day that the music died, and like the, yeah, music to her was her father. And so it, yeah, was really like heavy and somber, and I'm glad that they had the courage to end the season that
we're
way.
All like crying.
I think I'm doing a little better,
Brandon,
job of holding it
we
back. I'm sorry,
Brandon.
I don't mean to make you cry.
Brandon's like going no, through. I'm like, yeah, you need to stop for a second. We need,
yeah,
to like,
like that moment when she sang, yeah, it, she sang it a cappella, and like that moment, oh, where she had silence, where there was no music, the last like 15 seconds of the episode, where it was complete silence, and you could like feel your heart, and you could feel just like the weight of everything like on your chest. And that's a good show.
it's definitely a good show. And Amir, I even love the what you brought up about the dance, the father-daughter dance that they had. And it was an instrumental of True Colors, which was the first song that Mitch sang to her in the show. Yeah. So I thought that, that was really well done,
was, yeah,
really poetic. It brought everything full circle. Kitty Kaboom, I didn't mean to make you cry.
Sorry, Kitty.
tell us what you're feeling right now.
Well, sorry.
Take your time.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, just Emily reminded me just of like how many people have just not been able to celebrate their loved ones. It is so horrible. And my adopted grandmother unfortunately died during this COVID, not of COVID. She freaking lived till she was 90, so she had an amazing, such an amazing long life. But just to get that call that she's no longer with us, and the fact that they wouldn't even let us live stream and see her, just all of that. I'm sorry. That's just what came to mind when
Kitty
said that.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Kitty. I didn't upset you.
Of course you didn't know that. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm such a crybaby. Like, I feel good that I haven't had this breakdown through the whole season. So this is good. That is super cathartic. So I am grateful that I'm having it with you guys. I am being here alone. It sometimes puts you too much in your head. So thank you so much. I don't want to cry, but I'm grateful that you made me cry because...
Thank you so much. Kitty, take your time. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Thank you. No, we have time.
It's okay.
Okay.
No, it's okay. We have time. Just take a breath. And I just want to, while you take a breath, Ryan Nielsen, one of our producers, says he loves us. He's in the live chat. And Rachel Cervantini says this show is therapy. And it really is. I think all of us.
Yeah, like I saw, so I watched John's live stream. I watched Alex's live stream, and they were all crying on their Instagram live. So it's everyone. We're all doing it. It's okay.
Yeah, you're grabbing things from real life, and that's what's kind of making me not be able to stop crying. But it is an amazing show. And honestly, I hope if they're watching right now, please tell them no shade, no tea. I would never try to tell them how to run such an amazing show. But for me, visually, the only thing that could have made this like sublimely perfect, that last scene, what if they would have done that in black and white?
I would have really appreciated seeing the different layers of gray with them all singing, with the continuous 7-minute shot, with the climbing up the stairs and every single one of the family getting the ability to weigh in and sing their part and their, you know, I just, clearly it was done. It was amazing. The overhead was up with the rain. It was great. I'm just saying, like, if they're, you know, in a perfect world or whatever, I don't know. I feel bad now. Like, who the fuck am I? Who the heck am I?
But you're doing great. You're
fine. I'm just saying, like, if they asked us, I would have liked to see that in black and white. I think it just would have been a little bit more impactful. That's all. I don't want to talk
I agree. Kitty, you're getting a lot of love in the live chat. Janine, sorry, Kitty, sending love. Winsome is saying virtual hugs. JV, I'm sorry for your loss. And Sassy Jones, sorry for your loss, Kitty, virtual hug. Well, that's a lot of love.
Give me a hug.
Thank you. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Oh, good. Don't apologize. Don't apologize.
This show definitely, like, it is therapy, you know, for all of us. Yeah. Hits everybody in so many different ways. I know, like, watching this whole season, just watching this episode alone, I immediately relate it to real life as well. You know, I think about every loved one that I've ever lost, every funeral that I've ever been to, every relationship that I've ever been in, you know, all my friends that I've maybe struggled with or fought with and had to work things out. I mean, this show, like, it packs a punch. It has everything in it that you could possibly imagine to I don't want to say to make you cry, but
but it's like, it's just so authentic. It's so real. And like it, and you know, and the creator, you know, Austin, it was based on his dad. So like, it's coming from a true place. And that's what makes, like, art imitates life. And this was art displayed in all of its glory and all of its ups and downs. It's like heartache and it's beauty and celebration. It was everything all bundled together, and music connects us. Music brings us joy and brings us laughter and love, and that, and it's universal. And so that's what the show was about, was bringing people together with music and family and friends, and they succeeded in that 100,000,000%.
Yeah, definitely. If nobody has any more thoughts, I know we've cried about this enough. I think maybe, and I don't know if this is gonna help, if we move on to our special segment for this week.
Okay, I will Heavily try, May. Guys. I will try, but I can't promise anything. One of my favorite moments of this episode was when Zoe danced with her dad, kind of for that last dance to kind of send him off to for that transition. And so it got me thinking, like, what would be the song or this kind of your inner musical monologue that you would get, that you would sing to someone, a family member or a friend, for their, like, kind of last dance, if you could have that special moment. And so for me, I am picking You Are the Sunshine of My Life by Stevie Wonder. And I just feel like it's cheery, and it's just forever, you feel like this person is with you. And it makes me smile. And, you know, my hope is that it would bring sunshine and love and light to this person. So that's why I picked it.
Great choice.
So Amir, do you have one?
I do. So Joan Osborne's song, One of Us. I've always loved that song, If God Was One of Us.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, so like when I lost my grandma, I remember like that day, I could just feel her everywhere. And it's like this idea that like God is inside all of us, and that God is one of us. And I'm not like very religious, but like that always resonated with me. So just the intonation of the song, it allows you the time and space to cry. I think that's why I love this after show, because we've all allowed each other space to cry. I think a lot of times we're like, don't cry, Kitty don't, like Amir don't, whatever. It's like, no, let it out. Like, it's nice. Yeah. And the song kind of allows you that opportunity. So I really resonate with that.
I love that.
Kitty, are you up to share yours?
Yeah, definitely. So mine is I don't want to say it's a cliche, but it is a classic. First made famous by our amazing, illustrious Whitney Houston, written originally by Dolly Parton, I Will Always Love You, is a classic, as everyone mm-hmm. knows. And it just speaks so, to me, brilliantly. I mean, it sums up everything, right? Like, this is something that I will always feel. I don't care what ups and downs we always felt. You are gone. And despite whatever went down, my thoughts will always gravitate toward the love that I have for you, how much you held me down. And I think for me personally, talking about my adopted grandma, like, we can't choose our family, you know, and hope prayerfully we love them anyway. But when you have someone in your life that, like, literally chose you to be a part of their family, it just feels different, you know, it just kind of hits different. Like, no, I want you to be a part of my family. I'm including you are my grandchild, you know. And this woman lived till, like I said, 90. And to this day, right now, my child just turned 22 the other day. My adopted grandma was sending him Christmas gifts every year still. Like, who does that? You know what I mean? You didn't have to do any of that. You adopted me. You didn't adopt right. him. And this was such an amazing woman. So I am grateful that right. I was a part of her life and she was a part of mine. Mm. And I will sing that to her as long as I'm able to.
I love so that, beautiful. Kitty.
That's so beautiful.
I love that, Kitty.
Thank you
and
so
Kitty,
much.
And Kitty, there's
for sharing
no age
that.
Either. You know, Em, there's no, no yeah. age. It could be 90, yeah. could be 12. It, so I think
exactly.
That's really
exactly. Me. Like it's yeah. universal. It's ageless. You're you know, like everyone feels lost and you know.
I'm just grateful that she lived that long to be able to see yeah. all of her hundreds of. That's she amazing. Literally has hundreds of grandchildren.
That's hundreds. Amazing. Yeah. So amazing.
She lived a little life, and she's dope.
Brandon, do you have a,
right.
a song?
What is yours, Brandon?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say that thank you, Kitty, for just like sharing your personal story and opening yeah, up to
no
all
problem.
Of us. I definitely didn't mean to make you cry on camera.
No, come on, y'all. If you don't know anything about else about me, you know I'm an open book.
We appreciate it, and we love you for it.
We're all crying. Yeah, we're all going to be puffy tomorrow.
Emily, and I swear this yeah. isn't a cop-out answer, I have the exact same song as you.
What?
Yeah. It's okay. actually it's something that's very personal to me. It reminds me very much of when I lost my cousin, who passed away at a very young age. Yeah. So it's really it's the song that comes to my mind immediately. Yeah. So yeah, 100%. That's what I would go with as well.
Well, I'm glad we picked the same song. That means yeah. it's like both our heart songs. I love
spirit.
It. In spirit,
oh,
yeah.
I love
oh my gosh,
that.
Thank you guys so much. I know this was such a really, just a tough episode, but I want to know what your heart songs would be. Please share them online, on Twitter, Instagram, in the chat. I want to know because we're all in this together and music yes. will help us get us through it.
Exactly. And we have a lot, so let me just on the live okay. chat. So I, yeah, so... See You Again. Yeah, that's a great song. Let's see. The showrunner actually wanted to use See You Again by Charlie Puth, but couldn't get the rights. So that's Ivan with the inside scoop, as always. Rachel Silvestrini is saying The Bright Side of Life is her song. My inner monologue song for this song was to say, It's Time to Say Goodbye by Andre Bocelli. That's a great song.
Wow.
Sorry, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
So this is a great comment. Everyone has lost someone they love at some time in their life. Our love for them connects us in the universal emotion of sorrow and brings us empathy. I like that. That's from JVA. And then, yeah, that's and Ellen Hainwright is saying, episode made me cry. Yeah, it's so good. You Are My Sunshine, my grandfather and mom sang that to me growing up. These are great songs. Aww. We love these songs.
Yay. Thanks for sharing, everyone. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys for sharing as well. I'm so sorry. I'm so emotional, but it's a good look. Like, I appreciate you guys allowing me to get into that. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone watching for sharing your heart songs as well. We do have a few minutes left, and I think it's a good opportunity for us to talk about predictions for season two. We kind of hinted at this a little bit with what we think might happen with Joan. But yeah, I think there's a lot of different directions that they can go in with the love triangle and everything going on. And okay, like, let's just bring up this moment at the hospital real quick when the MRI technician who performed the MRI on Zoe.
Yes.
Like, very heavy-handedly was talking about, like, oh, this machine's helped a lot of people. And then he started singing. He's got the music in me. Okay, so Emily, let's start with you. Yes. Do you think that storyline is going to be pushed even further in season 2?
Yes, so I totally had an inkling when that happened. I feel like the MRI technician is like the person behind it. And what makes, and I think that there might be other people that have the power because he like did it. Yeah. And like he knows, because he said, oh yeah, this has helped a lot of people. And so I think he knows that something's up and he knows that, that certain people have the power.
Ooh, that's good, Em. I like that. I thought maybe he was the first from the first episode. Was he the first guy that did the tech? Did her?
He is.
Okay,
he is.
Okay,
he is.
We went back and looked at it. Me and my roommate. And
yeah.
He
so
definitely
I think.
Is.
Yeah, smart. I think there's something smart there. Okay. I think Maggie might have. I think she might have a love interest at some point in season 2.
Yes.
And I think
love
Zoe,
for Maggie.
Yes, love for Maggie. And I think Zoe is finally going to either pick Zoe. Yes, she should pick herself.
Of course.
Should pick herself first.
Always pick yourself. Always
and
pick
then,
yourself.
Yes, no, always choose yourself.
But Max or Simon, I think there's going to be a big decision. And then I think obviously there's a new baby. There's going to be a new baby in the family. And that's going to bring some you know, interesting family dynamics. And I don't know. I just want there to be a season 2 so bad. There's so many unanswered questions.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Amir? Where do you think this is all heading? Do you think this MRI technician knows something? He's up to something? What do you got?
I do have opinions about that, but I think Em really covered that. So I'm going to talk about something else because she really said what I was going to say. I actually spoke to Kapil today on IG Live, and he dropped some hints about the possible new season, and maybe Tobin's gonna get a love interest, have more, a little more of a role on the show. He's saying Tobin is like an onion, so we're gonna be able to unearth it. Again, he didn't confirm anything, but this is what I was able to glean from him. Mm-hmm. I also think that Max is gonna take over Joan's job if she's gonna get promoted.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're gonna bring Max in. Clearly, he has to find a way to be there a lot more, other than just maybe dating Zoe. But other than that, I don't really have any predictions. I hope they pick someone super fun for Maggie's love interest. Possibly a woman. I think that would be fun. If they did something totally off the wall, would be kind of cute and different. Maybe Bernadette Peters and her date. I don't know. That would give me life.
That would be amazing.
I mean, I feel like there might be some, there has to be more pie dates and, you know, because she's going to be grieving. So.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But yeah. Honestly, whatever they do, Brandon, I am so here for it 100%. I'm not really like, I like musicals, but I'm not really like watch a musical show every week, but I'm really super into it. They do such a good job. It's not cheesy. It's well done. Even that last a cappella with Jane is probably the best piece of TV I've seen since the season finale of Breaking Bad. I mean, that was really absolutely the best.
That's a hell of a statement. Yeah,
that is a big statement.
Yeah,
I'm wondering when they will announce season 2. I've seen some polls. I don't know if you saw some polls going on social media about like the top, like you take a poll to keep the top shows that you like. And so I've been voting on it, and it's by fans. And so you got to keep doing that because we got to get a season 2.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we know that Austin pitched it, so I have the inside scoop on that. So he pitched it. There were no dry eyes from all the NBC executives. Remember, TV executives are pretty much dead inside. So if you get them to cry.
Especially network.
So pitching the first season or the second season?
This is the second season.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, good science. I would certainly love to see more of Tobin, and if he's got a love interest, I think that would be really interesting because his character has really developed a lot over the course
of
the season.
And
he's been a lot of fun. Kitty Kaboom, what are your thoughts on season 2? Do you have any predictions of your own?
First, let me just real quick disclaimer. I sincerely apologize. So unprofessional. My manager of my building came to look at this leak, and this is the only time he had. So I was just like, what?
Don't worry about it.
So,
don't worry about it.
That.
We're good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, good. Done. my predictions for next season would have to be that this, what if the baby comes out and he's like a super firecracker? Like, what if he can sing too into Zoe's world? That's my prediction. It's so off the wall and ridiculous. I love it. Everybody's looking like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm talking about the baby, her nephew or niece that's coming out. Like, what if the baby comes out and has the special power to, like, interpret other people's songs? Or, like, obviously babies can't talk, but, like, somehow he had the ability to sing and, like, let Zoe in on certain things that she wasn't able to decipher. Okay, it's a bit much. I agree. It's stretching.
I mean, but it sounds like a bit much on the surface, but maybe if they could find a way to do it really clever and tastefully. Yeah.
They are clever. Maybe. They are tasteful. I don't think it would be hokey or campy.
Yeah, it can't be cheesy. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be, though. Think about the writers and think about how they've been able to intertwine so many storylines that could have fallen flat and been super cheesy and were not. So I'm just saying, I think it would be a cute little, you know, whatever, coup de grace. In terms of realistically, I love the idea that she and Max like run off into the sunset somewhere, but clearly Simon is not giving up that easily. So I'm looking forward to seeing them being mature, but knocking each other out if necessary to get to Zoe. Must be nice. Must be nice.
We'll certainly have to see on that. Before we wrap things up here, Amir, does anyone have anything to say in the chat? Maybe predictions of their own, overall thoughts?
Someone, Janine Bryce, is saying like a Twilight baby. I love it. LOL. Rachel Silvestrini is saying hard pass. Ivan Soto, no, just no, Kitty. So they are, they are feeling it.
I'm kind of with them. I'm with them on that.
I saw that face. Emily's just like, where is she going with this? I'm just saying, I'm trying to be creative and think outside the box. And you never know.
You never know. That's okay. Listen, a lot of trendsetters, people are, you know, people are against a lot of trendsetters. It's fine. But you know what? Sassy Jones, say, I'm not sure about that. That's fine. People are not agreeing and that's okay.
That's okay. Fine. It sounds ridiculous. And if it just comes one to fruition, I want all of y'all to make sure you hit me up on IG like, my bad, Katie. We didn't see it coming. I know. This is what I do. I blaze trails.
Well, there you go. Blaze that trail. For the last one, Winsome Hitchcock is saying, yes, vote for the show. We love the show. Rachel Silvestrini says, I grew to adore Tobin over the season. So yes. People are
comments. This show, I can feel it in my gut, is going to come back for a second season, and we will all be here, so it'll be great.
It'll absolutely be great, and I think Kitty's bold prediction is a perfect place to end things here as we wrap up season one of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist over here at AfterBuzz TV. Emily May, while we anxiously wait for season two, where can people find you online if they want to reach out with theories of their own?
Yes, please reach out, talk all things Zoe's. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Emily May Heller.
And Kitty Kaboom, where can people find you?
Just what you said, my love. On IG, I'm Kitty Kaboom, KittiKaboom, and on Twitter, I'm Kitty Meow.
And last but certainly not least, Amiria Sai, where can people find you?
Yes, Brandon, well pronunciation, honey, yes. You can find me, you did it, it's great. Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, Amir Yass, Yass underscore. And I have truly loved being with this panel on this show. And yes, I'm so proud of Kapil and John and Mandy and all of them are so wonderful. So
they're amazing. I know. We were so lucky to have all of them on and they gave us such insight into the show. We're so lucky.
Really? Yeah. And thank you so much, Amir, for making that happen. Give props to a props or do. That was all Amir. So thank you, my love. I really appreciated having them as well. It was great insight.
Yeah, and I think Emily played a huge factor in getting us Mandy as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, my bad. Yeah.
I had those tweets, man.
Yes,
it was certainly a team effort. It was amazing to be on this panel with all of you as well and to have the pleasure and honor of having such amazing guests from this show. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHannah07. And we are all anxiously waiting for season two of this amazing, extraordinary show. And we will just have to wait to see you all then. So thank you. And
thanks, guys. For now.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.